Just thinking about a guy like Joshua, we can really think of success. You know, we live in the West here, and we hear a lot about success. And usually that means becoming rich, having a nice career, having fancy stuff, and having better and being better than everybody around you. The biggest house and all that stuff. But success means being able to achieve those things that are really worth achieving. And the world certainly has the wrong priorities, but when you look at Joshua, you see success. The whole topic of today was how he started well, he ran well, he finished well. We could look at that and say, what a successful guy. Everything he set out to do, he did. What was worth doing, he made it happen. And not only did he finish well, but the last little bit we had was how he even helped others finish well. The elders that he encouraged went on to finish well too, and the people followed the Lord in their time frame. What was the secret to Joshua's success? Was it just unique to him? Is he somebody that we can look at and say, I could just wish that I were like Joshua. Too bad I'm not him and I can't do what he did. Well, there was a secret to his success. And it's something that you and I can do just as much as he did. And if we do it, we can have just as much success as he did. Please turn to Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, we see Joshua beginning to take the lead, and the Lord speaks to him directly. And he says in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, and thou shalt meditate upon it day and night, that thou mayest take heed to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou have good success in thy ways, and then shalt thou prosper." Just to link up with that, you can turn to Psalm 1. And we'll go back to that verse in Joshua. But Psalm 1. Says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the wicked, and stands not in the way of sinners, and sits not in the seat of scorners. But his delight is in Jehovah's law, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." The consequence of that is seen in the next few verses. "He is as a tree planted by brooks of water, which giveth its fruit in its season, and whose leaf fadeth not, and all that he doeth prospereth. The wicked are not so, but are as the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Jehovah knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish." We have a word that came up in both portions, and that's the word meditate. And just like the word success has been sort of taken in a materialistic, worldly way in our day and age, the word meditate means some strange things in this day and age. In fact, ironically, it means the opposite of what is said right here in Scripture. You talk to one of these Hindu gurus or yogis or whatever, and they will try to talk you into some form of meditation that involves emptying your mind so that you can have the peace of nothingness and the sound of one hand clapping and all that other nonsense. But when it says, when the Lord says to Joshua, to meditate, he's talking about filling his mind. Filling his mind with this book. This book shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night. If anybody here likes the writings of C.S. Lewis in the Chronicles of Narnia, there's a book that C.S. Lewis wrote in that series called The Silver Chair. And it's all about this topic. It's all about how easy it is to mess up in life when you don't recite God's word in your heart, meditating on it day and night. Because it's one thing to come and sit around like we're doing today and hear all this great stuff. But we're no different than the people that Joshua was ministering to and that Moses was ministering to. We can talk a great deal right now. And then before this day's even up, we can be having a tough time on the road driving home, thinking some ungodly thoughts or saying ungodly things. Or the kids can get on our nerves, or the spouse, or we can see something on Facebook we don't like, or whatever it is. And it's only as we meditate on the Word of God day and night that we can have good success. God says to Joshua that if you keep my words churning in your mind over and over again, then something's going to happen. As you keep rehearsing these words over and over, you're going to take heed to them, which is really what counts. Right? It says, the Lord Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Well, if we keep them, you know, if you have an iPod or an iPhone or some MP3 player, there's a song that you like, you put it on repeat and it just plays over and over and over. Well, that's what we should be doing with the Word of God. It should be on repeat, playing over and over and over. This is what the clean animals do when it talks about them chewing the cud. The cow or sheep or whatever it is gathers a bunch of grass, chewing it up, and then it puts it into one of its stomachs, and then it goes and sits down and it processes that bunch of food over and over and over and over, extracting nutrients from it until it has fully digested it. That is a picture for us of how we ought to approach the Word of God. It's not just to come and hear it from some good brothers and then hear some nice comments and go, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's interesting. I remember as a younger person, my favorite thing about going to a Bible conference was, ooh, I never thought of that. Ooh, I never thought of that. And I was, you know, I'm amused by the fact that you can read a verse of scripture and think you understand it. Then you show up at a conference and some brother makes a comment about it and you're like, wow, I didn't even understand that. Or I didn't think of it from that angle. Well, that's all great, but that's not meditating on it. What we did here today would be like the clean animal collecting a pile of grass and taking it in. Now, we're all human beings and we didn't take everything in. We just didn't. No one can. But whatever we took from here, we take it back and we chew on it. We mull it over. We meditate on it. Not just what we heard here, but on the Word of God. Read through the whole Word of God, then read it again, then again, and then again, and keep repeating that process. As you do, as we do, we will take heed according to all that is written therein. For then shall we have good success. As we take heed to the Word of God, we will have good success. Now, there's a lot of preachers on TV who tell you about having success. Somehow the Word of God will give you success. What they mean is by pray this prayer of Jabez or the prayer of so-and-so and recite this and do that. And then a new car will appear on your front door. No, that's not success. That's nothing. That's nothing. Success is when you're like Mary and you break that alabaster box and you hear the Lord Jesus say, what this woman has done shall forever be spoken of. I'm paraphrasing. But imagine Jesus saying, what you did, I want that talked about forever. That woman had success. Success is when we hear the voice of Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If that's not what success means to me or you, then we have our definitions messed up. We've unfortunately adopted the world's definitions. Because you can see, you read about millionaires jumping off of buildings or ending their lives in some other way. Having money and wealth and power and all that stuff, that's nothing. If we truly are a Christian and we want to serve the Lord, then success is when we have served the Lord. When we stand before Him and He can say, you served me. Your life, like Paul says, to live is Christ. When you were alive, it was Christ. That's success. We will have that as we take heed to the Word of God, which we will take heed to it as we meditate on it. And it says day and night in Psalm 1. And in His law, He meditates day and night. Young people, what are we doing in the evenings? What are we doing with our friends day and night? Surfing the web? Posting pictures on Instagram and checking posts and all this, you know, hitting like. And, you know, I do that same stuff too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bashing that. But there are some who that is their life. It's just staying socially interacted as though that is doing something. Or just following a trend. Or just watching videos all day and night on YouTube or whatever it is. Or it's not just young people, it's older ones too, doing the same thing. Or just enjoying magazines or the newspaper or whatever. What are we filling our heads with? What are we meditating on? There's a verse that I love that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to know what somebody's been thinking about? Listen to what they're saying. Is there ever something of Christ coming through? Those of you young ones that are my Facebook friends, I go on there and I go down the timeline and I look for something of Christ. Is there something in here? Or is it just about work and school and friends and music and movies and TV? And is there something there? Is this person saying, hey, you know, I read this the other day? Or, I had a thought about something. Does anybody else have the same idea or anybody see it differently? Something. What is coming out, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouse clicks, or you can take it into today's methods of communication. There are many. And the fact that there are many doesn't necessarily mean there's virtue. But what is coming out is reflective of what's going on inside. Do we meditate day and night on the Word of God? Just want to close with one scripture in Colossians. But you could tell in the life of Joshua that this is what was going on. He was meditating on the Word of God and living it out. He was thinking over and over what God has done in his life as well. That's what he ends his life with. He goes over, look what the Lord has done for us. In Colossians, there's a similar thought in Ephesians, but I just want to look at the verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, another 3:16. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of the Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. I love the thought of let the word of the Christ dwell. That means, like it talks in the end of all things when it says righteousness dwells, right? As opposed to when the Lord is ruling in the millennium and it says righteousness reigns. Dwelling, there's a sense of peace and rest. That the word of God dwells in us. And not just a verse or two, but it says richly, richly. Let God's word have a rich dwelling place in our hearts. And that's expressed in teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. As we have God's word in us, again, what comes out of our mouth is a song of praise and a song of admonition. When we remind ourselves of what we just sang, in thy presence we are happy, in thy presence we're secure. In thy presence, all affliction we can easily endure. In thy presence, we can conquer, we can suffer, we can die. Wandering from thee, we are feeble. Let thy love, Lord, keep us nigh. What is that? That is exactly what's mentioned here. That is a song of admonition. Singing to one another. When I hear that, I'm encouraged. That my wife and I were actually supposed to sing that at our wedding reception. Some trivia there for you, but there was a little too much going on and we didn't, which is why I know that hymn very well. But that hymn means a lot to my wife and I. It reminds us of the difference between being in the presence of God and what life is like in the absence of that. In His presence, we have that success. When we keep ourselves in the love of God, it says, meditate on the Word of God. Let this Word dwell in us richly. Then we can have that good success that Joshua enjoyed.